Oh, Father, we are here to worship you and we adore you, Father, and to receive from you. You are our focus. You are our focus. We invite you to invade this place with your glory and your presence. Come and touch us, Father. Come and fill us with you. We are desperately in need of you, Father. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, over this place today. Oh, we release the Spirit of God over this place. Thank you that we will drink from your presence today. We'll drink from your glory. We will be touched by heaven today. Oh, Rosondo Bobreki Dinia. Oh, we worship you, Father. We worship. Thank you that you, the creator of heaven and earth, you are here today. Thank you that you, Father, the Father of all the world, you are my Father. And you see everyone in this place. And you care for each and every one of us. And you are longing to fill us with your glory, to heal our hearts and to heal our bodies. And we say, yes, Father. Yes, we receive. We believe that this is our day. I believe that this is my day. Hallelujah. I open my heart for you today. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Well, Dave promised me I could use his Bible, but he disappeared. I saw yesterday the poster here. Arise and shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. And you know, that is the word of God to this church. Thank you. Thank you. The glory of the Lord is risen upon you. I believe today, I saw, you know, Friday and yesterday, we saw many people being healed. Some totally healed instantly. Some saw something start, and Dave was one of them. And I felt the Lord say, today there will be a part, a day where everyone that wants can open their heart and be touched by the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2 says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Hallelujah. That's the word of God to us. The glory appears over you. Hallelujah. God is just calling his people to come to closer to him and give themselves to him and to start walking in his glory, in an intimate relationship to him. If some people, it's just like they have lost their expectation when they come before the Father in prayer. But when you come before him in a meeting like this or in your personal time with him, his plan for you is to fill you with his glory so that we carry the glory of God to the people around us. And he says that I think we can identify with this, like, see, the darkness covered the earth and thick darkness over the people, but the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears upon you. It's like a polarization today. It's like darkness become darker, but the glory of the God, of the Lord, will be more and more visible. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's go to Matthew 17. Matthew 17. Just while I'm preaching now, just say, Lord, I receive, there is something, there is an anointing, a presence of God over this message and over this meeting right now. And you need to say, Lord, I receive. I want to be touched by your glory. I want to be one of those that carry your glory. This is the story about the transfiguration of Jesus. Matthew 17 from verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as the light. Just then appeared before them Moses, Elijah, talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Hallelujah. Peter was spontaneous again. He loved it. It was the glory of God. It was the glory of God that descended upon Jesus. Hallelujah. And Peter said, we want this. We want to stay here. Forget about those people down there in the world. We want to be here where the glory is. Hallelujah. And I've had some experiences with the glory of God. But the thing is that he wants us to be filled with the glory over and over and over again. And then he wants us to go there into the world and just let his glory touch the people around us. Hallelujah. Have you seen pictures of saints? You know, all pictures of saints have this, what do you call it, halo around their head? Why do you think they had that? Well, it's to know who is the saint, isn't it? So, you know, okay, if they have this circle around their head, they are the saints. But how did that start? You see, it started because the men and women of God that were really living close to God, there was a shining around them. The glory of God was shining through their face. And that's how they could, some places, it's not a circle, you see, paintings where there is like, there's a shining, there's a light, a shining from the face of some of these people. Because they were with the Father. Hallelujah. We can see in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I think. Yeah, it says, it talks about Moses. Let's go to verse 7. Now in the ministry that brought death was so engraved in letters and stone came with glory, so that the Israelite could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of his glory. Fading though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? You see, when Moses had been with the Father on the mountain and he came down, his face was shining. And people couldn't even look at his face because they were blinded. So he had to take a cover, a scarf over, or a cloth over his head to protect the people so they could talk to him. But the interesting thing was that the glory that Moses carried, it faded. Slowly, slowly, it disappeared. But he kept the scarf, so no one would understand that he faded. But we have the possibility to access the presence of God over and over and over again and live with it and have the glory of God over us. And sometimes you notice the glory just filling a place or a meeting, or I've noticed it in public meetings. I've noticed it sometimes when I've been more often there, when I've been alone worshiping God. The glory is descending. Sometimes I'm just shaking by the glory. Hallelujah. And it's something tangible, and it's something real, and it's something that is available for every believer. Everyone that has been washed by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. I remember many years ago, the first time I noticed some of this, I had been a believer for maybe 3 years, 4 years. And I was preaching on the street in my hometown. We had like outdoor meeting in a park central in my hometown. And we saw many people come to Jesus. And God bless, that's a powerful message over there, is it? So we had all of these new believers. We had outdoor meetings like early evening every day. And Friday night, I said, I believe we should have a meeting after the other meeting for those that are very hungry. And I came there. We started like 10 in the night. And while I started preaching, my body started shaking. And slowly, slowly, the presence of God was increasing. And I was preaching. I was sharing what the message of my heart. But this presence of God, the glory of God, was just increasing and increasing. And my body was shaking more and more. And after a while, I could not stand on my feet. You see, there are two words in Hebrew for the glory. The presence, the tangible, manifest glory of God. And one is kabod. That means weight. And we sing about the weight of His glory. And sometimes the weight of the glory of God really comes in a weighty way. And it wasn't like I was hit by the power and went to the floor. My body just became so heavy. And my feet couldn't stand. I was more and more heavy. It was like I was a ton or more. And I couldn't stand on my feet. But I tried to preach because the message was burning inside of me. And at the end, I was lying on the ground preaching. And I was thinking, oh, if it will be more than this, I will die. It was not only heavy, but it was like my body was burning. And I say, and then even more of that power came upon me. And I said, stop, Lord. And it disappeared. I said, no, sorry. Sorry. I want more. I want more. It was gone. It was gone. He's like, he's respecting you when you say stop. But it's the presence and the glory of God is available for us as much as we want. But we need to want it. And there is a way to, there's a price to pay. There's time for prayer and time to spend time in fasting and just seeking God. But there is something available for the church that then there is a generation coming that will walk in the glory and the power of God like no one could ever see, believe before. And, you know, we see hear the story of the saints. And the saints were people, I mean, some saints, some that are called saints were not really saints at all. Some of them were, you know, there were many different reasons why people were called saints in the Catholic Church, for example. But some of those people, they were real people that found a way to carry the glory. And we as a church, we are called to carry the glory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Father, we just invite you to come over this place with your tangible presence. Can you say after me, Father, come and fill me. Come and touch me. Come and transform me. Let me carry your glory. Let me be a carrier of the presence. Oh. And I pray that this prayer will be on your heart for the rest of your life. Let me be the carrier of your presence. Let me walk with you in a way that your glory is always with me and over me. And sometimes it's visible for people around, and sometimes it's not. But there has been people, not only Jesus, that have been carrying visible presence more or less constantly. The other word for glory is Shekinah. And it means shining. Shining. And sometimes, well, that's what we see by this, the halo, this, you know, on those pictures, because the weight is hard to describe on a painting. But the glory can, the shining can be described. And I remember some years ago, we had a conference. We were gathering pastors and leaders from, well, it was in West Africa, but people came from both West Africa and Europe and America. And we had this pastor's meeting. It was the presence of God was amazing. But the last day of the pastor's meeting, I had one of our pastors coming that had come from a town called Agadez. Anyone knows where Agadez is? No. It's what they call the capital of the Sahara Desert. It's a strong Islamic town. We have a church and an orphanage there. But there's a constant resistance and constant persecution over the church, the believers, and especially the pastor. He's an apostle leading this work there. And he was with us in the conference. And before the last evening meeting, he came up to me and he said, "Oh, this has been a really, really good conference. But you see, I am so tired. After all of these fights that I've been standing in constantly for years and years, and especially the last half year, it has been a constant battle. And I just... really feel I need to be touched by God to go back into that battle." So he just poured out his heart. And while I was teaching, I felt the Lord said, ask him to stand up and pray for him. And he stood up. And I said, Danjuma, can you stay up? And we stretched our hands toward him. And while he was standing there, he started like, ooh, 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 ooh. And I continued speaking. And after a while, I felt that I should ask him to come up. So he came and stood just in front of the pulpit here. And we started to pray for him. And the whole congregation stretched their hands out to him. And he fell. And he started to roll up and down on the floor. And he was crying and laughing and crying and laughing. And he was crying deep, deep cry. Hurt. And then he was laughing and laughing and laughing. And I continued to preach. And suddenly he was totally quiet. And his body didn't move at all. He looked like he was dead. He wasn't dead. and we went on with a meeting, and many other people were touched by God. And then after this leaders' conference, we had an outreach in the desert among the nomads. We bought a military tent from, I think it was the Desert Storm, we brought it out of the desert or in the bush there. And we had some amazing meetings. Many Fulani, many Muslims came to the Lord. And after a couple of days, I noticed that between the meetings, a lot of people were flocking around one area. And I was thinking, actually, they did that yesterday also and the day before. I wonder why. And I went up to see what was happening. Why on earth is everyone here? And I saw over the people and I saw Danjuma, this guy who was rolling around on the floor. He was just sitting there and his face was shining. His face was just shining with the glory of God. And he was so happy and so joyful. And he was joking a little bit and preaching a little bit. And he was just sitting there. And people just had to come to him and like get part of that glory. And I went up to him and said, what happened with you, Danjuma? And he said, you don't know what happened with me? You were the one that did it. Of course, it wasn't me, but I brought him out. And he said, when you called me out there, first when I was standing there, I felt God touching me. And I was like, oh, this is what I needed. And then you called me up, and I fell on the floor in the power of God. And I felt these waves of glory and holiness and love coming over me. And it was waves. And I remembered I could see him going with those waves. You know, he was going up and down like that with the waves. And I was crying and laughing. It was just amazing. And I was thinking, I was lying there saying, oh, if there's more of this now, I will die. Just like I was saying. And he was thinking, maybe I might have to say stop. But he didn't say stop. So he said, just when I was about to cry out to God, don't do any, give me anymore, two angels came and picked me up, one in each arm, and took me up in the heaven, over the clouds, just into the heaven. And I saw the city of God, he said. It was shining with the glory of God. And the angels said, this is the city of real love. And they brought me into the city. And then they placed me on the lap of the Father. And I don't know how long I was there. But I just loved it. I was there for hours and hours and hours. and the Father loved on me. And when I came back, this was on me. This was like 4 days earlier, you know. And I've been with him, and we have been working together to prepare this outreach and everything, and I didn't notice. I was so busy. But people flocked around him. And it was the glory of God, the presence of God. Hallelujah. I want us to read from Romans. Because you might say, well, this Danjuma must be one of those saints you were talking about. Yeah, he is. He's one of those saints, and so are you. Amen. If we are born again and washed by the blood of Jesus, we are among the saints. Hallelujah. And the thing is that saints is like, we have been taught since the Reformation that we have been washed in the blood of Jesus and we are justified. And it's fantastic. Amen. It's amazing. But the thing is that justification, righteousness, is not the goal. It's a step towards the goal. Let's look at Romans 8:29, where it says, those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son. Hallelujah. So when we come and we have encounters with a God, with his presence and glory and holiness, we are slowly, we are being transformed to the likeness of his Son. And then it says, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Hallelujah. You know, we know that John 3:16 says that Jesus was the only begotten Son of the Father. But he says that we will be transformed. So he's not any longer the only begotten, but he's the firstborn among many. Wow. So that we will really become like him. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, this is available for us here on earth. That's why we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, this will not fully come to pass before heaven. But we can be touched by this and we can carry this. And we can be, like I said yesterday, a bridgehead for the kingdom wherever we are. And being a bridgehead, being a little territory of the kingdom of God here on earth, it will bring the glory of God to the earth. Hallelujah. And then let's go on here. Verse 30. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And then those he justified, he also glorified. Wow. That's us. Jesus gave us access to the glory. You know, when Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple, it fell, or it was broken, it was opened. And justification that happened on the cross gave us access to glorification, to go in behind the veil. I'm not talking about going down to Jerusalem now. There's not even a temple there anymore. So, but to get access to that glory of God. And of course, it's not only that when the veil was torn, it was not only that we can go into the holiest of holies, but the holiest of holies came out to us. Hallelujah. And we can access that. Father, we desperately long to see this happen, Father, in our life. Just we that are justified, that we will also experience to be glorified. And you know, there are many people who gave their life to Jesus and prayed a sinner's prayer, and they did not really understand that they are righteous. So they might still walk around, they are believers, they are children of God, but they don't understand that they are righteous. So they are filled with fear, and there are different things in their life that would be gone if they just understood that they are righteous, justified. And it's the same thing. Many believers that don't really understand what it means that they are glorified or they have access to the glory, so they don't carry it. We have learned we can walk around and we know we are justified, but you can also walk around being aware, being and believing God for the glorification to carry His glory. Because one of the things that hinders us is this, is the main thing is that people compromise when it comes to sin. The other thing is they don't even believe it. They will believe it is possible. But this is available for believers. Hallelujah. Oh, Father. Once I was driving from one town to another, and I had some people in the car driving with me, and one of them said, "Could we stop here? Because I have a message to some people I want to see here, some minutes." And I said, "It's okay." And we stopped, and we were standing on the street outside the car, three of us. And we had been praising God in the car on the way. And there was just the presence of God with us. And then across the street, this little boy was playing with his football. And the football, suddenly, it rolled up to us and stopped in front of us. And the boy came running after it. And when he came within, I don't know, within our reach, or well close to us, he fell over and foam came out of his mouth and all of these sounds. And demons started manifesting in the boy. So we understood it was demons. We commanded the demons to leave the boys, and he was thrown here and there, and he ran off. Some minutes later, his mother came. And she came straight up to us. She understood who it was who had touched her boy. And she said, "What did you do with my boy?" And I was thinking, how do I explain to a mother that her little boy was maybe 5, 6 years old, or I don't know, 7. How do you explain to a mother that her boy was possessed by demons? So I was like, what do I say? And she said, well, before I reached to answer her, she said, "Well, my boy has not been speaking since he was born." And he came home running and said, "Dad, mommy, he was speaking to me. There are some good people on the street. They helped me." And you see, and the mother said, "Well, we know that our boy has been possessed by demons his whole life." Okay. Wasn't too difficult to understand, to explain to her. And it was, We didn't even do our... He came to us and the demons started manifesting in our presence. And when we start to carry the glory of God, it's like we are the solution. Hallelujah. It's still, we had to command the demons to go because God has left it to us to do that. Hallelujah. But it was easy. And this is some years ago, and today he must have been more than seven because he was thrown out of school. They told us that he couldn't be in school. That's why he was playing alone on the street. And today he's 16, 17 years old, and he has top results in school, and he's like a model student for everyone else. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, Father, we just ask. We ask for a longing and a desperation in the heart of everyone in this place. And I just feel the Father is saying that I want to work on your decision, ability to make a decision and to stick with it. I want to work on your discipline so that you can carry my glory. Carry my glory. Shando bobra de gesi re tolondoria. Some years ago, I went to Mauritania. Anyone know about Mauritania? There's a country that know Mauritania. Well, you have heard me talk about Mauritania. You. It's in West Africa, south of Morocco. It's one of the most isolated countries in the world. It's opening up a little now. It has strict Sharia laws. And all mission work forbidden. It was death penalty to leave Islam and be a Christian. And I really felt drawn to that place. It's a wonderful place, you know. And I've been there many times. And once I came there, it's a long story. I was blacklisted on the embassy in Paris. So they said, you will never get a visa to go to Mauritania, because I told them what I'm doing. So I needed to go there without visa or find other ways to get visa. And sometimes I went there without visa and it worked out well. And sometimes I got someone else to find me a visa. And one day I had someone who promised me to get a visa that will wait for me at the airport. And when I landed at the airport, there was no visa there. And actually, before this, I was very busy in ministry in Norway, and I was so exhausted. I was so busy. I haven't really been able to see God very well before this trip. When you go to places like that, you should spend time with God, you know. And so I came at the airport, and I was arrested. I said, what? They say, you came here without... They only arrested me for coming without visa, not for, they didn't know what I was doing. But I was arrested, and they said, we will put you back on the same plane, and the plane has already left. So, okay, they said, we will keep you in the arrest till your return ticket, a week later. Okay. So, they brought me to this room. It wasn't a cell with a lot of other prisoners. It was a room. It was cement walls and cement floor and cement, and one mattress and one bulb, light bulb in the ceiling. And I was standing there. I said, Lord, I did all of this. I worked so hard to be able to come here. And what is this? I was like, this is not what I came here for. I was planning to visit the underground churches. And while I was standing here a bit irritated, I heard a voice say, this is my gift to you, my son. I said, what? I was even more like, what on earth? Gift to me? I sat down on that mattress and the presence of God just filled me. And I had 6 days in the presence of God. Oh, I was sitting there worshiping and reading the Bible. I had my suitcase there. I had my Bible there. They gave me food two times a day. And I was just sitting there enjoying the presence of God. And it was like I was shaking with the presence of God after 4 days. And after 4 days, they gave me a message and said that tomorrow we will let you go out for a couple of hours, because probably the day after tomorrow, you will get your visa. Oh, okay, that's good. Then I would have 1 day left in the country. So the day after, they let me out for 2 hours. I still was there illegally, but they let me out because they were processing things. So I went to the airline and extended my stay for a couple of days. And then the next day, they released me with my visa. And suddenly, I was invited to the headquarters of the Muslim Brotherhood. And while I was there talking about Jesus, people were healed when I just touched them. They were instantly healed when I touched them. And they were like, the leaders of the Brotherhood, they said, I didn't touch you. I'm sorry. Shakabarangalagaye. Oh, sorry when you missed that touch. Hallelujah. And so these people in the Brotherhood, they were saying, you are really sent by God. And when the Marabu, that is like the big leader of the Brotherhood, when he was gone, the other leaders came up to me and said, could you stay here with us? We don't need the Marabu anymore. We just want you. I said, oh, I'm in full trouble now. So I was 2 days with them preaching the gospel, opened a way for a lot of things that happened in the Brotherhood. Actually, the whole Brotherhood it ended up with people in their headquarters, about 60 of them getting saved, and they split in the whole Brotherhood, and they lost their influence in this. Well, anyway, that's a long story. And then the last day, the leader of the Brotherhood brought me to national TV and told the people that this is someone that God has sent to our nation to bless this nation. And it's death penalty to become a Christian. And sometimes it's just what God can do when the glory of God is all upon you. And I have a longing to walk in that all the time, and I don't, because sometimes all the worries of this world takes my attention, but there are times where I walked in this and seen the presence of God, and not only the presence, but the glory of God. These people are from Norway. Do you know them? They are RTF leaders in Norway. Hallelujah! Woo-hoo! A wonderful couple. And Unni and Olav, they are the partners in Harvest Leader, pastors. They are the partners in Harvest Leaders in Norway. Or they were, at least. And Uni, sometimes the glory of God has come upon Uni in a way that she is so heavy, she cannot be moved. She said they need like 5 to 10 people to carry her. A little lady. She's not big. But it's just the glory of God. And I just want us, all of us and all of you, to understand the glory of God. It's not a fairy tale. We read how the dedication of the temple of Solomon, it says that when the priest started worshiping the Lord, the glory came in such a power that they just fell and they could not do ministry anymore. And I believe that we should be just crying out to God in our prayer meetings, in our prayer rooms, at home, when we are walking around town, when we are at work or wherever we are, crying out for the glory, the tangible, manifest presence of God to touch us. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabazanga Barakili Androsti Makaya. Oh, thank you, Father. When Jesus was about to be born, it says that the glory of God came in such a way that the shepherds were afraid. And the first church had the manifest presence of the glory of God in such a powerful way that when Ananias and Sapphira lied to the church, the power of God struck them and they died. It's a serious thing. So let's cleanse our heart. Make sure there is nothing there that stops us from carrying the glory. But let us get the glory of God into the church, into our lives. Hallelujah. Father, I think now, if you notice your heart is like beating quickly. If you notice the tangible presence, the warmth, the heat is coming over your body, or if you're starting shaking, there's a sign of the presence of God touching you. Just come quickly up here, and we will release more of that over you. I believe there are many people here that are feeling the tangible presence of God is touching you. Just come up here. Oh, Rebbe Bazikana. And some of you will note it is starting coming while we release it over people in the front here. But just come up. Can you stand on the line?